I appreciate your prayers tonight. I ask the Lord to help me to share this message with you all. Think about that song that we just heard, and it sounds a song to me like not everything's just going just great, you know. And you're telling yourself, I'm going on and I'm going through anyway. No, it's not easy. I don't know how I'm going to do it. Whatever you might be thinking within your heart or in your mind at the time, you make a determination in your heart that no matter what, I'm going on and I'm going to go through. And I guess I'm feeling that song tonight. And there's a whole lot of reason not to give up. A whole lot of reason not to give in. I'd like to start in John chapter 19. We're going to start reading in verse 25. It says, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost." I think about this scene, and it's essentially Jesus on the cross. He's been beaten. He's been spit upon. He's been slapped and ridiculed, tortured. And now he's on the cross in front of his mother and his friends, and most likely his brothers and sisters, dying on a cross. And in the moment, it reminds me of a time when I had my family with me, and we went to the lake, and I swam out there to get my fishing hook off of where it was snagged like a dummy. And I got my leg caught in something. And I'm out there in boots and everything trying to swim. Maybe it was tennis shoes, but I could feel myself losing it. And I can only imagine, I'm looking out at the beach or the shore or whatever, and my wife and children were looking at me. And I can only imagine what it would be like for them to just watch me drown and die right in front of them. And the thought of it, it broke my heart. And I guess in that moment, I got a little bit of, I mean to go right on and through. I'm not going to let this happen, right? And I kicked and swam for all it was worth, and the Lord blessed me, and I got back to the shore. But I think about Jesus on that cross, And those who loved him and cared for him were watching him die. Why? Why was he up there? Why was he on that cross? He was on the cross because of hatred. He was on the cross because of greed and because of jealousy and pride. He was on the cross because of lies. Someone mentioned envy. And you can just continue to add to the list. And I'm not just talking about your envy and your jealousy and your pride, but I'm talking about the people who were living right then. Their pride, their greed, their jealousy. We got to get rid of this Jesus. People are listening to him. People are following him. Look at all this mass people following him. We got to get rid of this man. Why? Who did he hurt? Who did he mistreat? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He loved those who no one else loved. He had mercy. So why? The only real answer is that he was on that cross because of sin. The sin of those people that were around him. And he was on the cross for your sin and my sin. And the thought of it, of watching him on the cross, just imagine being there and knowing that this man is there because of my sin. Because of the things that I chose to do wrong. The decisions that I've made. He didn't deserve to be there. He was innocent in all things. But I'm not. And to think that he was on that cross for me. The things that he suffered and died for were for me. And because of what I have done. And because of what those people in that time had done. I think about the thief on the cross. When he said, get yourself down and get us down too. And the other one said, how could you talk like that? You and I are here because of what we've done wrong. He's here for nothing. He didn't do anything to warrant being on this cross. In Matthew 27 and verse 40, let me get there. Matthew 27 and 40. And they were mocking him and wagging their heads. In verse 39 it said, and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save yourself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. They mocked. If you really are the Son of God and you're the Christ, come on down. Likewise also the chief priests, mocking him with the scribes and elders, said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross. And we will believe him. You know, they were right. That he could have come down from the cross. And that he could have done a whole bunch of things to save himself. But I'm reminded of what Jesus told Peter when he said, no, you're not going to die on the cross. It's not going to happen. We're not going to allow it. And he said, what did he say? Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things which be of God, but the things which be of men. He could have, but he chose not to. He chose to die on the cross. And the reality is if he did not die on the cross, and this was why he rebuked Peter, was because it had to happen. Salvation and deliverance to you and to me and to Peter had to come through the cross. Jesus had to die. His blood had to be shed. I don't understand all the ramifications and reasons why it had to be exactly the way it was. I often wonder to myself, Lord, why did you have to suffer the way you did? Why did it have to happen that way? But the truth of the matter is that he had to die. His blood had to be shed for you and for me so that we can have deliverance, so that we can be made free by the blood of Jesus. Yes, he could have come down from the cross, but thank God he chose not to. And rather, he suffered the cross. And he stayed on it willingly for you and for me. And he died in front of those that loved him and cared for him. Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53, starting in verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Our iniquity, our sinfulness, our wickedness. Maybe some might think, well, I haven't done much wrong. I haven't done anything really bad. But the truth of the matter is that what you have done, he died for. Every little thing. I mean, I can look at Eve and think, well, what did she really do? She ate a piece of fruit. Right? Not that big a deal, right? Except that it was in direct disobedience unto God. And so maybe we haven't done all that many things that were wrong. I can't say that. I've done some bad things. And I thank God for the blood of Christ and for the mercy that I can get because of what he did. Because without him, I don't know where I would be. Death would be a mercy. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Pilate was amazed that he didn't even try to defend himself. He opened not his mouth in defense unto himself, but willingly took upon him the cross. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. So he died for you and for me, for our transgression or for our sin or for our wickedness or iniquity. He died for you and I. I look in Mark chapter 15. Mark 15 and 7. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them that had made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. And the multitude, crying aloud, began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. This was desiring Pilate to release unto them a prisoner. But Pilate answered them, saying, "Will ye that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Would you like for me to release to you Jesus?" He gave him a chance, didn't he? I think he would have preferred it that way. For he knew that the chief priests had delivered him for envy. He died on the cross for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, "What will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews?" And they cried out again, "Crucify him." Then Pilate said unto them, "Why? What evil hath he done?" And they cried out the more exceedingly, "Crucify him." And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus, when he had scourged him, to be crucified. I think about this little portion that the Lord has given us in his word. And it's a demonstration, really, of what Jesus has done for you and for me. You know that Jesus died for Barabbas? He died in his place. Barabbas should have been the one on the cross. Just like you and I should have been on the cross. We were worthy of death because of what we had done. Because of the sins or iniquities or transgressions or whatever you want to call it. Because of those things, we warranted death. And Jesus stepped in and died in our place. There's another passage of scripture where Pilate says, I'm clean of this man's blood. And the people cried out and said, "His blood be on us." As if to say that they were justified in killing Jesus. But the reality is that Jesus' blood needs to be on us. For us to be purified, for us to be cleansed, for us to be washed of our sins, it's got to be through the blood. The blood of Jesus. Not my blood, not your blood, not the blood of a lamb or of a goat, but of the blood of Jesus. innocent, righteous man, without blemish and without spot, died for you and for me. I was thinking about a song, and it was somewhat an encouragement to me to look into this. But number 171. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. 'Twas there I counted all but loss. 'Twas there I gave my heart to God. 'Twas there He washed me in His blood and spake the words, "Thy sins forgiven," and filled my soul with peace from heaven. I was listening to that song in my head. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. And I was imagining Jesus on the cross with His mother and His brothers and sisters and His friends and His looking on Him and imagining them saying, "Oh, the cross, the precious cross." I don't think they were thinking that at the moment. The precious cross. You know, when I think about Jesus being on the cross, suffering for my sin, it's hard to imagine the cross, the precious cross, except in what it's done for my life. It's because the cross that my sins are forgiven. It's because of the cross that I've been made washed in the blood. It's because of the cross that I'm able to have mercy rather than judgment when I deserve judgment. I deserved to be on the cross. I'll speak for myself. I deserve to be on that cross. I should have been the one they crucified. I should have been the one that they beat and they slapped and they spit upon. It should have been me. I had that coming. Not Jesus. But you know, me dying on that cross would not have delivered my soul. It wouldn't have saved my soul. It was only by the blood of Jesus that I could be saved. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. The only way for sinners lost. There's no other way but through the blood of Jesus to have your sins washed. The only way that we can gain an entrance to this heavenly plane. It's the only way for us to get close to God. For our relationship with God to be restored and reunited, if you will. Where we can approach into God. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we can come and intercede with God. I thank God for the blood. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. 'Twas there I counted well the cost. 'Twas there my soul was sanctified. 'Tis there I ever will abide. 'Tis there we find the purest gold and joys that never can be told. It's at the cross. It's at the cross of Jesus. We sang this song, "At the cross of Jesus bowing. There I find a sweet release." Because it's at the cross that I was able to be released of the guilt of sin, the shame, the disgrace. And I was able to find mercy in Jesus Christ. It's at the cross. And so, yeah, it's a precious cross. To the world, it's foolishness. It doesn't make any sense. But to us, it is the power of God. Because it's at the cross that we find new life, new existence. We become a new creature in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. All things become new. That is a reality. It's not just some story that we tell and that we sit around every Sunday and we talk about it. No, it's a reality. It's what God does to your life when you give Him your heart and you allow Him to apply the blood upon your heart and in your life. He'll change your life. We were praying during worship the other day with the children, and somehow we had gotten on the subject of the blood, and one of my sons was like, I don't want nobody's blood on me. I don't want Jesus' blood on me. And I mean, he's a child, and I get it. You know what I mean? It sounds gross, sounds yucky, you know. And so in prayer that night, I was thanking the Lord for the blood that He put upon my heart. And the blood that He applied to my life, because it's by that blood that I've been set free. It's by the blood that I've been renewed and made different and changed. It's by the blood of Jesus. And after prayer, my son said, just a spoonful of blood is okay. And I said, thank the Lord, that's all that you need. You don't even need a whole spoonful. Just a little bit of the blood will do. Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. You will not save yourself. Just like you can't be crucified for yourself to save your soul, you can't follow enough of the rules to save your soul. Because the truth of the matter is you've already broken the law. And if you have not been redeemed and you have not had the blood of Christ applied to your heart, then you're still in your sins and you're not saved. If you want to be saved, you have to acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross for you. You have to accept that. And as hard as that is for some people to accept the guilt or the shame to know that Jesus had to die because of something that they had done, it's so much easier to try to justify ourselves and say, well, I haven't really done anything. You know, I'm a good person. I'm nice to people. You know, I haven't done anything wrong. But we have to acknowledge that Jesus died on the cross. And accept His blood. And say, you know what? His blood be on me. His blood be on me. That's essentially saying that I'm the cause. And let it be on me. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. The faith of Jesus Christ, in other words, the faith in the knowledge that He died and that His blood can be a propitiation or a sacrifice for your sins. You acknowledge it and you have faith in it, and it's going to wash you and cleanse you. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Every one of us stands guilty before God and needs the blood to wash us from our sins. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. I want to emphasize the word past there. The remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Thank God for the cross, the precious cross, that delivers me and saves me from my sins. I was reminded during service this evening that you remember in Nehemiah, where Nehemiah went through a lengthy process to try to get the children of Israel free. Went and bought them back, or did whatever they could to get them back. And then he went back to work. And when he comes back, he finds out that they went ahead and sold them all back into slavery. I just helped you to deliver them. And you are going to sit here and sell them all back? I think of Jesus Christ dying on that cross and His death being a propitiation for my sin. And what a slap in the face it is to Him for me to go on and sin. I just died for you. To redeem you from that. To free you from that. To deliver you from that. My blood will sanctify you and cleanse you and purify you. I paid it on the cross. I paid for your deliverance. And you go right back? Lord, help us. Oh, the cross, the precious cross. It goes so much deeper than just a forgiveness of sin. It goes much deeper than that. The plan of salvation, the plan that God has for you and for me, is much bigger than that. He wants to change your life. He wants to make you new. Inside and out. He paid a precious price. And He can work in our hearts and in our lives if we'll let Him. I thank God for the cross. And I know to the world it seems like it doesn't make any sense, the precious cross. But it's because of that cross that I'm here. It's because of the cross that Jesus died on that I'm even able to talk to you guys right now. Because He changed my life. And to think about what He's done for me, and just say, well, thank you, Lord, but I can't do nothing for you. Essentially, He gave His life for me. Shall I not give Him mine? Don't I owe Him mine? He gave His life for me and died on a cross willingly accepted the shame and the ridicule and the rejection of the people for me. He received ridicule from people. People laughed at him and mocked him and made fun of him in front of everybody. And am I going to reject him because somebody makes fun of me? Or thinks that I'm being ridiculous? Am I going to hide my face from Jesus and act like I don't know him? Because maybe I get embarrassed? He did it for me. Can I not do it for him? I mean to go through. And it's not always easy. This is not some cake ride of life. But when we're bearing the yoke of Christ, his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Because he's right there with us. He's bearing the load with us. And we can make it through by his grace. I thank the Lord for the cross. I thank God that I'm free. Free to do what I want to and go where I please. And that's why I'm here today. Because I want to serve the Lord. He gave his life for me. And by the grace of God, I'm going to give him mine. Appreciate your prayers.